Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Fisherman Ministry Wednesday Night Bible Study. I have with me Karen and Megan. Hello.
Hello, Robin.
Hello.
It is, of course, nice to be up with you guys and to have all who are with us. Welcome, everyone. I'm going to give the floor to them to see if they have anything to say, but just as a reminder, we were looking at 1 Samuel, the first two chapters, which gives the story of Hannah, Samuel's mother, and we will finish taking a look at her testimony tonight. So with that in mind, I open the floor up to Karen and Megan if they have anything like this they'd like to say before we kind of jump in and finish Hannah.
Well, Karen, go ahead.
I'd just like to say that Hannah's faith was just so wonderful in that when she vowed this vow and she ended up lending her son to the Lord and going through with it and just being completely faithful through that whole thing when me, as being a mother, you know, giving your child to the Lord is a thing where you're not going to have that child. And she didn't have any other children. And Eli, the priest, told her that her prayer would be answered when she had said before that she was praying for a child.
She didn't. Sorry.
What?
She just told Eli that she was, you know, pouring out her heart, essentially. She didn't tell him exactly what it was she was praying for.
Oh, okay.
At that time.
But her faith was, to me, just remarkable in this whole thing, and being obedient and to what her vow was, because when you vow a vow to the Lord, it's very important that you keep that vow. And she did that, and her faithfulness proved to be something that the Lord blessed her with more children, as it turned out later on. And the thing that really sticks out to me is that about Hannah.
Yes, you know, her testimony is that she was a person who believed God, and the fruit of that is that God really is worth believing, because look at the fruit that was born of that, you know what I'm saying? She had, in other words, her faith was rightly placed in the Lord. And you know, all of us as parents, though we don't lend our children to the Lord in the manner that Hannah did, that which we put in God's hands, we take back so often. And a lesson we can learn from this story is how worthy of our trust God is.
We were talking about this today a little bit when you were here, and you know, I don't remember your exact words, but your point was what you just said, you know, about how Hannah's trust was in the Lord, not in the person before her. She trusted in the Lord and his anointing and his, you know, the fact that Eli was a priest. She received him as such, and she received his word as the word of the Lord. You know, she didn't distinguish, well, he's speaking as a man now, and he's speaking as a priest now. You know, he's just, that's who he was. And so that was how she received the word that he gave her. And we see the result of that. The other thing that's... sorry, carry on.
No, you go on.
I was on another point.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, Hannah is one of those people, if you take a look at handmaidens in the Bible, Jesus' mother, her confession was, she called herself a handmaid when, I believe it was when Gabriel came in and visited her. But the thing about a handmaiden that you'll notice, you see it with Abigail and David, is if you're God's handmaiden, then you are the handmaiden of God's people. And in this case, she identifies herself, Hannah does, as Eli's handmaiden, because Eli was the priest of God. She didn't judge Eli, but she trusted and submitted to the position that God had established. And because she was God's handmaiden, she therefore was Eli's. And that's, you know, a handmaiden to the Lord doesn't then get to choose, you know, what they're going to do. They actually are servants to the Lord's people. That's how we serve God, is by, you know, that walking in obedience and submission to those who are over us, and doing that which we are told. And you see that she does it. He says, well, may the Lord grant you your petition, and she received that and got up and walked in that. That's a pretty amazing thing, I think. How many things have I had spoken to me that I could have received fully and the blessing of them from the Lord, but due to unbelief, have not received it? You know, the promises of God we receive by faith, meaning when we believe. So your next point, Miss Megany?
Was something that you mentioned last week, which was there are several... I speak to the women since we were talking about Hannah. But there are several women who are in the chat tonight who have young children. And Hannah had a young child, his name was Samuel. And she raised him in such a way that even though he was young, when she gave him up to the Lord to go and serve Eli, he served Eli and he served the Lord, because that was how she had brought him up. And so for those of us who have young children, and for those of us who don't have such young children, of course, I'm not in that group, but there's no excuse. There's no reason why our children should not be serving those who are over them, which, of course, are the parents, and therefore the Lord. There's no reason, and there's no excuse, because Hannah shows that.
And they are one and the same.
Yes, right? Exactly, they are. You show you serve the Lord by serving those who are over you. And in the case of a child, that's their parents.
Yes. So, with that, and, you know, one other thing I wanted to notice, Hannah had been barren. And I have no idea what Hannah went through and where she started. But the thing is, you know, we go through things that if we will call upon the Lord and trust Him and continue to put our faith in Him, they work. They, you know, it's a part of our working out our salvation with fear and trembling. So Hannah came to a place where this is the fruit of it. And she very much wanted a child, and she prayed, and the Lord heard her. And now we started chapter 2, where we had her rejoicing in the Lord, and we're just going to start again at the beginning. It's silly to pick up in the middle of that. But the one thing we were talking about before 7 was, you know, Hannah this prayer that she prays is after she has brought her only son, Samuel. And as Karen said, she doesn't have a promise of other children at this point. That's something Eli prays, speaks afterwards. But this is her response after bringing her young son and lending him to the Lord all the days of his life. And not after she had him, but after she has brought him and fulfilled her vow. So, Karen, if you would pick up and read verse 1, just verse 1 at first, please.
And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation."
It's, you have to take note that her heart rejoiced in the Lord, her horn was exalted in the Lord, and her mouth was enlarged over her enemies, because she rejoiced in his salvation. You know, that's a place of recognizing humbly your need for a Savior. And it is, and that's why she gives testimony there of why she had that rejoicing, exultation, and victory was because she rejoiced in God's salvation. That's a humble place. You know, and it's also not a place of see what I have, see what I've done, see I was right. It's praise God, he is good. Praise God, he is merciful. Praise God, he is mighty. You know, I mean, just praise God. And you see this with Hannah where she rejoices because God is all that he says he is. So, Karen, if you'd pick up there.
There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed.
Okay, you can just, I know we went over this, but, you know, there is no other God. He is the only God, and he is exalted over all of his creation by leaps and bounds. There is no one beside him. He stands alone. And therefore, verse 3, talk no more so exceeding proudly, let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. You know, I mean, quit standing there thinking you're something. For you know what? God knows. He's a God of knowledge. He weighs your actions. They're not going to go unanswered.
They're also not going to go unaccounted for.
Amen.
You know, Steve, as you know, is a lawyer, and the system that he works in is funnily called the justice system, but it's not just. And so people get away with things they shouldn't get away with, but there is one who knows, and one day they will get what their reward is, you know. It reminds me of Psalm 73. You know, I looked at the wicked and their, you know, how well they seem to always do, and me, poor lowly me, I can't, you know, seem to accomplish anything until I went into the house of the Lord, and then I realized their end and that they were on slippery place, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because they trusted in things of the flesh rather than God. And really the remainder, not the remainder, but a portion of this gives testimony to it. You know, there, it's not by strength that we are saved or anything like that. these things are in the Lord's hands. And He and He alone is worthy of trusting and praising because of the fact that He is able. And we're going to see that. But yes, and by Him actions are weighed. I know because I've been at Steve's law office recently, it's kind of interesting because you see people come in who have, and especially in our country now where we won't stand and allow somebody to reap what they sow to their own benefit, and we kill people by that behavior. There are those, and in this sense, you have people who think they're better and think they're something and think they're strong and all this kind of stuff. And, of course, there are none strong next to God. But, yeah, I mean, justice brings forth the truth because it is the truth, then, that makes you free. Not, and injustice, God is merciful and forgiving, else none of us would stand. But it's not without accountability. You know, there's repentance. When we humble ourselves and repent, the Lord is a forgiver. And it kind of goes back to verse 1. All of these wonderful things that she rejoices in are because she rejoices first in the salvation of God, that which reconciled her unto Him. That's what that salvation is a reconciliation that we get to have with God through Jesus. So verse 4.
The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength.
Megan kind of talked about that, and I know we talked, that was our last verse last week, I think. they that stumbled that are girded with strength. Now, that doesn't make sense, right? Why would you gird somebody stumbling with strength? Well, you know, it is the needy person, the person that recognizes their need, who humbles themselves, that the Lord can then enter in and His strength then can be manifest in and through them. The man who is strong and mighty, who shuns such humbleness and need, what use is he? You know, that which he exalts and speaks and stands in is against the Lord, not for the Lord. Megan, you were going to say something?
Well, I don't remember what I was first going to say, but, you know, why would the Lord help someone who's already strong? You know? When you know that you're not strong and that you need strength, and you're willing to humble yourself and ask the one who is strong, He's there to give you, you know, to strengthen you. I was reminded of, you know, as you're reading this, of some verses that Steve read on Sunday from Luke 18. It's talking about where the publican and the Pharisee were going to the temple, and the one says, "You know, God, I thank you, I'm not like anybody else, like other men." And the publican is, you know, beside himself. But the verse that he said, you know, verse 9 there, he said, it says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others." So that's where you see, then he gives the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. But that's just, you know, that's a really interesting, I mean, I have read this, I know, because I've read Luke, but I don't remember this verse. those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. The two go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you read the bows of the mighty men are broken, picture Goliath.
Yeah, yeah.
A mighty man. He didn't have a bow. He had a shield that someone else had to carry and a spear. He had a sword, too. Well, I don't know if he had a spear, but he did have a sword because that was what David used to decapitate him after he was dead. But he was
true.
A mighty man who was broken.
And there's no way anybody could think that David ran towards him with five smooth stones and a slingshot, trusting in his own great skill and strength.
Yep.
But you described there, with your Luke reference, that idea of arrogancy and pride. Talk no more exceeding proudly.
Sure.
Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth.
I mean, if you trust in yourself that you're righteous, it is not possible for you to honor anybody else because, well, you know, I'm so righteous and I have arrived and you poor schlep, you know, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And yet we're told to honor all men. They obviously, I suspect, despise those who don't live up to their standards, but it's so easy to be like that. It's so easy to start thinking about doing something good for the Lord, about somehow being righteous. It's in our nature. We want to do it. And yet it's contrary to the gospel. And it's a good thing to remember because you can, when you see it, that's the time, you know, to humble yourself and go back to the Lord. Not that you should leave him ever, but we do. We have, but we don't have to.
Well, you know, we're going to see when we get down here, in verse 9, he will keep the feet of his saints. And it's a wonderful promise because even that is something we trust him for. And I don't mean to lessen the responsibility of choosing and all, but if God wasn't, if he wasn't there working out this work, you know, performing that which he hath begun, as Paul says in Philippians. Now, we have to agree with that performance and come into obedience and submission to it. But thank God that he will keep the feet of his saints. And you see testimonies of this. You see it throughout the Old Testament, particularly because you have such rich stories, but the New Testament, and notwithstanding people's fallings, the Lord, because they trusted in him, and again, they were kept. And it's a beautiful promise that we can go forth in a confidence in our God, notwithstanding the weakness of our flesh, which, you know, I mean, we fall short, we fall. It goes back to James, when you fall into diverse temptations, count it all joy for the trying of your faith. Isn't it about faith? Isn't that which is a blessing to God, and isn't that which ministers the gospel? It's the faith and the sufficiency of the blood of the Lamb and nothing else. And the fact that we walk out a need to cling to that gift is good. You know, it's good. It's safe. And in it, God is there. That's where God dwells. And it's a wonderful thing. I say that, and it is a wonderful thing, though. Praise God. I know Paul says that he was with them in fear and trembling. you know, Paul, who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, who was a, you know, could contend for his opinion and win a debate, I'm sure, with pretty much anyone. And yet, when he came to minister Christ, Jesus Christ and him crucified, and knowing absolutely nothing other than that, he was with them in fear and trembling, with his hope entirely dependent and placed upon a God that he knew was well able. And so, you know, he can talk about trust and submission, which is what we're talking about, you know. So as we move into 5, because we do have to finish this, I just want to point out that as with prayers that are authored by the Spirit, Hannah starts out speaking personally. And, you know, the Lord does, this enlarges to an exaltation of praise and even prophecy of the victory ultimately that Jesus, that is in Christ Jesus, and that God, you know, God is, has won. Now, in Hannah's time, that had not come to pass, and even in our time, we do not see that victory. That victory shall be made manifest, and in the end, Satan will be cast into hell, and all those in rebellion with him. But of course, we still live in a time where, as Megan said about Psalm 73, you know, the ungodly prosper and all that. That victory has not yet been fully manifest, though it is true and certainly has been won. And you'll see as you go down here where this is, that which she utters is prophetic, authored by God. So, Karen, verse 5.
They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble.
You can keep going.
The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them.
Okay. So here we have, you know, I mean, God is mighty. He is above all. There is nothing that can stand against him. You know, those who prosper in the world, that can be undone in a second. And also, you know, they that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. You know, it's an interesting thing. First of all, we know that there will be a day when those who are in Christ Jesus, all the promises of God and all of the goodness and all of the provision of God will be theirs. And those who rejected, you know, all of that, all that they had will be taken away. But it was interesting. I think I've said this before, but I remember reading a testimony about the depression that occurred in the U.S. in the 1930s, and that there was a gentleman who was in the soup lines, or the bread lines, where they fed the people who were starving, and he asked every single person that he served if they had been faithful in their tithes to God, and he never met a single faithful tither in that service to the poor and needy, not one. And many of those people beforehand had been full. And But those who had been faithful no matter what they had or didn't have, they weren't hungry. They didn't need the bread lines. You know, the Lord accomplishes that which otherwise can't be accomplished. She that was barren hath borne 7. You know, a barren woman can't have children. That's what that means. She can't have children. And yet, even as Hannah was barren, and even as Sarah was barren, and even as Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, was barren, nothing is too small for the Lord. And those who prosper and have all the children they want, you know what? If they stand in their own prosperity and strength, they will become feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. I mean, God is above all. He is powerful. He is mightier than every single thing on this earth. There is nothing that can stand before Him that is beside Him or equal to Him or in any way nothing can stand before Him. You know what I mean? Except for that which He chooses. All things are subject unto Him. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. Well, you know what? If you look at the Gospels, you see that a heck of a lot. Those people that were sitting on the side of the road begging because they were blind and infirm, they weren't once Jesus says, rise up and take up your bed and walk. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Praise God. You know, He takes the humble and base things of this earth to confound the wise and to inherit the throne of His glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. We recently read the end of Job on Fridays. And man, if you want to go read a picture of how small man is and how great and powerful and glorious God is. You know, He is the creator of all this. He is. I mean, He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. Goes back to what you were saying, Megan, about Psalm 73, you know, and how the wicked prosper, and the guy was getting down in the mouth about it till he went into the temple of the Lord and he remembered the truth.
I don't know about anybody else, but there are some Wednesdays that I arrive at Bible study kind of like that. But spending a little time in the Word, hearing the Word, being washed by the Word, hearing the truth that makes you free. I mean, that is Psalm 73. That is, you know, going into, what does it say? Let's read it. Just that little word, sentence there. Going into the Psalm 73. The sanctuary
of God. Psalm 73.
What's that?
I was just picking on you.
Oh, that's okay. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. And it's, you know, I must say, when I say that about how I arrive at some Wednesday Bible studies, it's not even necessarily looking at anybody else. It's just getting down in the dumps all on my own, you know, being overtaken by the day rather than standing and fighting the day, through the day. Spending time in the sanctuary of God and being again hopeful, again thankful, because His grace is so abundant. His love is so abundant. There's no end to the peace that He gives, and it's not able to be found or obtained in any other place.
And the hope that is in Christ Jesus that is there for all who will leave. You were saying earlier before Bible study about having ministered out of Luke 8, I believe, on Sunday. John 8. Okay, that's right. It was John 8. Let me just go to that because I want to, in thinking about Hannah, you look at people like this and they, how many of us think, oh man, look at what I can be like, all we think is, oh man, look how far short I fall, right?
I do.
I mean, me too. Are you kidding? And where was it that you had read, Megan, so I can find it quickly?
The main verse that I talked of was 32.
Okay. So that was...
Actually, 31 and 32.
Yeah. I'm going to read it real quick. And then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, I was telling Megan, I've been listening to the Gospels when I've been driving, and I happen to have been listening to this one, and it kind of runs over a couple times before I switch the CD. And, this is a promise I can hold on to. If I will continue in His Word, then I'll be His disciple. And if I'm His disciple, I shall know the truth. And the truth shall make me free. And so that is a mighty hope that overcomes what I see in my natural man. In my natural man is no hope. I mean, and I can look at myself and say, see, I prove it, but in Christ Jesus, look at the hope we have in Christ Jesus, that if we'll continue in His Word, we'll be His disciples, and we will know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. That is what we walk in, and that is what we believe, and that is what we go after, and that is what we submit to. That is what we believe, not how we look at ourselves, right?
Yes.
And in that, He keeps our feet. For by strength shall no man prevail. But you see, by the Lord, we can. So, verse 10, Karen.
The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and He shall give strength unto His king, and exalt the horn of His anointed.
Now that is Jesus. This didn't come from Hannah's great insight or intellect or thought through prayer. This was a woman who, because she had humbled herself before the Lord and recognized her need and called upon the name of the Lord and then moved forward in that and not only received the answer to her prayer, but fulfilled her promise to God by faith. In her worship of God, he brought forth this exaltation, this prophetic exaltation that speaks of the truth, that which has been and that which will be. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto the king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And he has, and he will. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. And he did, by ministering unto Eli. So the actual last verse that speaks of Hannah is 21. So Karen, if you'd like to just read down through 21.
And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came, while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan, or kettle, or cauldron, or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, "Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, Let him not fail to burn the fat presently, then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, Nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat, and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife, and said, The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived, and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord.
You know, we get a picture of the stark contrast between Eli's sons, who were sons of Belial, not sons of God, not servants of God, but rather servants of the devil, you know. They were worthless, and they even made men hate the sacrifice by their behavior. And yet, Samuel, in contrast, being a child, and notice in verse 19, moreover, his mother made him a little coat. He wasn't a big boy yet. He wasn't a teenager. This was a little coat that she brought him year by year. He, in contrast, ministered before the Lord. And like Megan was saying, it's remarkable. So she saw him year by year when she came up for that yearly sacrifice, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife, and we know that Hannah, who asked nothing more of God than that she have a son who she would lend to him, God in his love gave her, what is that, five more children. You know, she didn't ask for that, though. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? The Lord visited Hannah. That's mighty. So that's the story of Hannah, a humble woman who was faithful to the Lord. Recognizing her need for a Savior and availing herself of such, and rejoicing in that. I don't know if you guys have anything more you'd like to add there.
When you were read verse 10 there, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. I was reminded of a couple of verses back in Numbers. Numbers chapter 10. It's three verses, the last two of chapter 10 and the first of chapter 11. And it says, "And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel." Chapter 11, verse 1. "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp." You know, the enemies or the adversaries of the Lord are not just those who proclaim no need of him, if you will. These were people, and when I read this, it just struck me. You know, Moses prayed, "Let thine enemies be scattered," and the next thing you see, the fact that his people were complaining came to the Lord's attention, and his anger was kindled against them, and the fire consumed those that were in the uttermost part of the camp, those who were not, you know, kind of on the edge. They had not actually fully joined. They did not believe on and continue. They just, you know, for a modern day example, they came along on Sunday to services. They came to Bible study, perhaps. And yet they're on the uttermost part, you know. And these people had nothing to complain about. We have nothing to complain about. And it's just a reminder for us to, that just because you go to church, just because you go to Bible study, just because you know the word, does not mean you're continuing. Does not mean you have the faith. You do have the faith, but you does not mean that you are choosing to believe. What did it say there? Verse 2 of chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. "There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside him. Neither is there any rock like him." That is true. It is true. Let's make sure to choose to believe it.
Yes, and everybody here acknowledges that to be true, but that is not the same as actually walking in faith in that, which is what I believe you're saying, where
yep.
He is our God. Not what we want, not what we don't have, not what we think, not us, not that this, not the other thing, but him and him alone. And uh, God, you know. And it's good to be mindful of that in Numbers, because do any of us here think that, you know, a God who is so present and so loving and so mighty, and that we should take lightly our complaints and our whining and moaning and groaning and begrudging of things and all of the things that we do? I mean, thank God that He is a merciful God, but let us be about His business and put off some of this garbage, you know.
Amen.
I wanted to talk about the fact that actually all three of us are heading out next week, Monday and Tuesday, to head towards Texas. Megan and I will be gone really through the first 4 weeks of October. Karen, I know, will probably be back a little before us. So Wednesday night Bible studies will not be being broadcast. Certainly the convention services, which are October 7th through 13th, I believe I have those dates right, will be being broadcast. But I wanted to, and as most people know, but those who may not be in the chat, if you go to www.thefishermanministry.org, there is a tab that has audio. And if you go to that tab, you have a variety of options, and I just wanted to throw out a few. One is Ministers Convention, where you can go in and listen to last year's Ministers Convention. There's also, you know, Bible studies. There was Revivals in Vermont in July, and at the same time, or in a similar time frame, Davey had been traveling, and he actually ministered on July 12th on the Thursday night Bible study. If you have not listened to that service, I suggest you do so. There's some great Sunday services. There's all sorts of stuff. So I hope that rather than taking a vacation from the Word, you'll take the opportunity, as some of the scheduling for the month of October gets changed a little, to avail yourself of the many services that are available. Again, it's www.thefishermanministry.org, and you go to audio, and you actually have podcast, teachings, revivals, minister conference, I believe are the four things, and you can go in there and avail yourself of stuff to build yourself up. So hopefully we'll see, and I know we'll see many will be joining together, praise the Lord, but they will be broadcast live, and then, of course, they will also be there available for listening at a later date. And I want to, you know, may we all travel safely and be ready. You know, if you go back and listen to that July service in South Carolina, the Lord has a, you know, wants to be brought forth. He has a message for the people. And let us empty ourselves that He can fill us, so that we can bring Him. And I'm reminded of that picture that God told Abraham about, looking up at the stars. And, you know, God calls us to shine brightly, and we are in a dark world, and that brightness is Him and Him alone. So let's avail ourselves of the Lord and, you know, learn of Him, that we might minister Him. So we will regroup and come back, I suppose, October 31st. But certainly keep tabs on the Eagle Radio Network and the Fisherman Ministry to see what's happening. And I want to say that Sue just let me know that it may be that the conference will be recorded and posted rather than live, but either way, they will be available. And you know the website. You're on one right now, and the other's the fishermanministry.org. And she reminded me we didn't do them live last year, so I don't mean to speak out of turn, but if you're not there, you can still partake and participate. So praise the Lord. Karen and Megan, I will leave it to you to say good night and God bless everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.